You know, there, y'all got to listen to this one this morning, all right? There was a rope that was passing by a church. And the rope heard the worship. And he heard the people praising and lifting up God. So this rope decided that it wanted to attend the church because it was impressed by the sounds coming from the church. So as the rope walked into the church, the people greeting said to the rope, "Wait a minute, you can't come in here. We don't allow ropes in our church." The rope left sadly because it really wanted to participate in the worship. So the rope went home and determined that on the next Sunday, I'm going to go back to that church. That Sunday morning, the rope got up and it tied himself into a knot and just kind of messed up his hair a little bit. And he got back to the church, and as he began to walk in, the greeters met him at the door again and say, "Wait a minute, are you a rope?" And he said, "I'm afraid not." We've been, for the last few months, we've covered a few different series here at the church. As you recall, we started some time ago with a series titled Time and Seasons. Then we went to a series for a few weeks titled Stay Tuned. And then most recently, we studied and we talked about faith. And then on last Sunday, we ended a series on prayer. For the next few weeks, we will be in a series of messages on worship and the essence of worship. It is my hope that this series would then be inspiring and challenging. I hope and pray that this series on worship will be life-changing, will be life-giving, and will instill in us a deep hunger for the presence of God. I honestly believe that we here are on a verge of a great season of prayer, worship, faith, and praise. We're in a season here where God is ready to do something special, as I often say here at Grace. If you are ready to accept what God plans to do, then just say amen. In the next few Sundays, Pastor Ryan and I will be talking about the presence of worship, the price of worship, the prize of worship, and worship with your actions. Today, I want to talk to you briefly from the topic, the heart of worship. The heart of worship. Webster's dictionary defines the heart as a hollow muscle organ by its rhythm, contractions, and it acts as a force, pumping and maintaining the circulation of blood in the body. It also says that it is the organ that distinguishes between the living and the dead. Now, what I want you to understand that when the Bible talks about the heart, in most cases, it is not talking about the organ that beats in your chest. It's not talking about the organ that pumps blood through our bodies. I found that the Bible talks about the heart over 300 times. Not so much about the vital organ that pumps blood through your body, but uses that as a parallel for the spiritual side of a person. The Bible tells us that the heart is connected to the mind and the understanding. Understand this, when God created man, the Bible talks about that he formed man out of the dust of the earth. And then after he formed man, there lie on the ground a body made of the dust of the earth. And then the Bible says that Jesus breathed into the nostrils of men and he became a living being. I want you to know today that in that breath from Jesus, when he breathed life into men, also he breathed the spirit into man. He breathed the heart into man, which is the very spirit and essence of man. The Bible says that the heart should be guarded against evil. Jeremiah says a man's heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Sin has permanently affected our hearts. It is an infection that sin has put into the hearts of men. When you were born with a heart disease. When you were born with a heart that was in distress because of sin. However, God knows the secrets of the heart. God searches the heart. The good news is God has given us a solution for our sinful heart. Now we can turn to God with a whole heart in a willing mind. If you study the word heart in the Old and New Testament, it is actually quite complicated and complex. There are many different functions associated with the heart. And then the word is overlapped with other terms like spirit, mind, and soul. Overall, the heart is the seat, the core aspect of our inner nature that makes up the real person that you are before God. It is called the wellspring of life. So the heart that we're talking about today, again, is not the heart that pumps blood through your body. However, it should be the heart that pumps love through your body. It should be pumping joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control through your body. That's the heart I'm talking about today when I'm talking about the heart of worship. Proverbs 4 and 23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. All the issues of life come from the heart. The heart is the engine of the human existence. But the most important, it is the most important organ of the body. Understand, worshiping God with your heart means there is nothing in life that completes us. Nothing in life competes with God as our object of worship. Nothing comes before him. Not your lifestyle, not your passion, not your career. Nothing comes before him. Listen, I love me some Venetia Britain. But I stop by to tell you today that when it comes in comparison to the love of God and to the heart that we share with God, nothing comes before the love that we should have for our God. You see, I believe worship at its essence is the response of a heart that is earnestly striving and crying out after the heart of God. Worship flows out of the deep hunger and thirst and desire for God. Not only to know him, but to dwell in him and to dwell in his presence. Now, some may say worship is singing on Sunday morning. But I want you to understand that singing is a byproduct of worship. Just like Oil, gas is a byproduct of oil. Singing is a byproduct of worship. But I think it's much more. It goes much deeper than that. Or at least it should. Listen to the words of this song. And I know you know this song. You've sung or you sang it before, but I want you to listen to the words. The writer of this song is speaking to the Lord in the lyrics. The song says, it begins with saying, when the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come longing just to bring you something that will bless your heart. I bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you require. You search much deeper within the way things appear, for you're looking into my heart. And it says, I'm coming back to the heart of worship, where it's all about you, Jesus. It's all about Jesus this morning. Worship is not about you and I. When we worship, I should not be concerned about how my worship sounds to you. I should not be impressed about how impressed you are about my worship. Because, church, I am not worshiping for you. I am worshiping for my Father in heaven. I often say to you, I cannot hold a tune. I can't even sing in the shower. I can't sing when I'm by myself. When I'm singing by myself, it sounds bad to me. But I want you to know today that my singing and my worship sounds good to God. It sounds so good to Him. It is like a sweet aroma in the nostrils of God when we begin to worship Him from our hearts. The dictionary defines worship as an expression of reverence or a extravagant respect or devotion. I thought about what David said one day, and I believe this speaks about worship. David said in a scripture, he asked his own soul a question. And the question was, David said, what should I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits toward me? And then David answered himself and said, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. That's worship. When you begin to reminisce on the goodness of God and you take the cup of salvation and you begin to call on the name of the Lord. This morning, did you come here with an expression of reverence to God? Did you come here with extravagant respect and devotion for God who loves and cares for you? I hope you did. But if the answer is no, maybe some of you are like me and you want to know, how do we get back to the heart of worship? The first thing we need to understand when looking at getting back to the heart of worship is knowing the priority of worship. The first priority of worship is knowing that Jesus is the first priority of worship. It's knowing that Jesus is the answer. Now understand, worship can include praying, reading God's word, singing, participating in communion, giving is a part of worship, sharing with others is a part of worship. Worship is not limited to one act or even to a place. I remember when I was in the military and I was deployed to Desert Storm in Iraq. And we had a briefing before we were deployed. And the chaplain came in the room with hundreds of soldiers ready to go to battle. And he began to tell us the restrictions on our religion. He said, we don't want to offend our host country, so we won't be able to carry our Bibles in public. We won't be able to wear crosses in public. We won't be able to openly talk about Jesus in public. But I tell you, when we got to the desert of Saudi Arabia and we set up our tents in the desert, we designated one tent for all of the believers who wanted to worship. We were in the middle of desert in a place where we were told not to openly worship. But we met every night in that tent. And as we heard explosions in the background and we saw oil fields burning, we found ourselves on our knees worshiping God. I stopped by to tell you that you can worship in your car. You can worship in your house. You can worship in the tent. You can worship anywhere as long as it's coming from your heart. But it's done primarily when the heart and the attitude of a person is in the right place. Looking further into Webster's dictionary, you'll find other definitions for worship. It says worship is reverence, homage, or honor paid to God. Worship is just is more than just praising with words. As sincere as those words might be, it means more than just acknowledging God's greatness. To worship God means to become devoted to God because of his greatness, and to become governed by his greatness to the point where you live for him, where your focus and your attention is on God. The Bible lets us know in all of your ways, acknowledge him. We acknowledge him when we worship. Now, those of you that are married, isn't it sweet to hear every now and then from your spouse sweet words? Isn't it wonderful to hear when your spouse says to you, honey, I love you? When your husband walks in the room and says, baby, you look so beautiful this morning. You're so wonderful. I love the way you take care of my house, our house. Excuse me, ladies. I love the way you care for the children. And then the wife says, baby, I love the way you provide. I stop by to tell you that's worship. And Jesus wants to hear your worship. There's nothing wrong with you talking sweet nothings to Jesus. Nothing wrong with you saying, Lord, I love you. Lord, I appreciate what you've done for me. I appreciate the fact that I was in sin and you died and say, talk sweet to the Lord every now and then. Psalms 150 and 6 says, let everything that have breath praise the Lord. Now, understand today that there is a difference between praise and worship. In order to praise, there's only one requirement in the Bible. I just read it. It said, let everything that have breath praise the Lord. In order to praise, you only need to have breath. I believe in some form or fashion, the dogs praise God. The sheep praise God. The Bible says everything that have breath. Praise ye the Lord. All it requires is that you have breath. But in order to worship, it requires relationship. It requires a pure heart. It requires a longing heart. Look at what John 4, 23 to 24 says. Yet a time is coming and has come when the true worshiper will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is a spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, I'm sure some of you have heard that particular scripture before. But do you really understand what it's saying? Do you really understand the requirements of worship? Jesus is saying that worship is not determined by a place or a posture. It does not matter if you're standing or sitting. It doesn't matter if you're lying or whatever, as long as you're worshiping from your heart. The attitude of your heart and the longing of your spirit, God responds to those worshipers who worship him with heart and with truthfulness and spirit that breaks every yoke. You have to be able to understand today that our worship is out of praise. Our worship is out of appreciation, and our worship is out of adoration to God. The act of worship will flow naturally out of the heartfelt spiritual desire to know God and to dwell in his presence. When people determine worship to be a place of posture or a place of being bound to do what man says, then we are worshiping like God described the people in the olden days when he said, they worship me with their hearts. We talked about this last Sunday. They worship me with their hearts, but their lips, they worship me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. There's another scripture that translates said that they worship me with a cold heart, but they worship me with their lips. In other words, they have hot lips and cold hearts. And I want you to know today that it is the heart that God looks at. Isaiah 29 and 13 said, the Lord says, these people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is made up only of rules taught by man. To worship God in spirit and in truth, it involves loving him with all of your soul, all of your heart, your mind, and your strength. True worshipers must be in spirit. That is engaging the whole heart. Unless there is a real passion for God, there is no worship. I said, unless there is a real passion for God, there is no worship. At the same time, worship must be in truth. You must understand the truth. Hebrews 12 and 28 says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. How many of you are in awe of God? How many of you think about the goodness of God and you realize that you're in awe? You realize that you serve a mighty God. You realize that you serve a God that is greater than any other God. You know that the attitude of worship is an attitude of humbleness. You come before God humbly. You come before God boldly at the same time. And you worship him because of what he's done in your life. Psalms 95 and 6 says, come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. I thought about a story that I read about a little boy. It was his birthday. And his dad came to him and said, son, what do you want for your birthday? And the little boy thought for a moment and he said, dad, what I really want for my birthday is a football. But even more so, I want the football so you and I can go outside and spend time together playing catch. And the dad said to him, is that all you want is a football? And he said, dad, what I want is time with my dad. The football is just so we can play catch. The dad thought about that and he realized that the son was more interested in the giver than the gift. And that's the way we ought to be today. We are so concerned about the gift when we ought to be concerned about the giver, the person that gives the gift. Do you remember the joy of that moment when you first found the love of God? Do you remember the clarity in which you started to witness to others about your new life and how everything seemed a little different at that moment? God had brought you to a spirit of life and a spirit of freedom. Do you remember how you worshiped him when you first found him? That is the kind of worship he's looking for today from you and I. The worship of newness, the worship of forgiveness, the worship from an open and pure heart. I say to you today in closing that It is our worship, our praise, and our adoration to God that he seeks. It is to him that we worship. It is to him that we offer up our praises. And our prayers should be, Lord, accept our sacrifice of worship. Let our worship come to the throne room and hear us as we worship to you in a pure heart. Let us pray. Dear Father, we come this morning thanking you for the opportunity to worship. And as we go into this series on worship, help us to be able to open up our hearts and worship to you in the way you've given us. Oh, Lord, help us to know that you don't care about how we look when we worship. You care about how we feel when we worship. Some might worship standing. Some might worship with hands raised. Some might kneel. Some would cry. Some would moan. Some would shout. But it's all to you. Help us to be a church that prays, a church that worships, and a church that serves in this community. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Don. Always a good word. Man, I know. Worship, it should be our complete life. We should show our worship through our life. So he talked about worship in spirit and truth. That's how we need to worship. If you're a guest here this morning, we want to thank you for being here this morning. We want to offer you a small little gift. We have some candles in the back. We'd ask you to take a candle, go home, light that candle, pray for us as a church, come back, be part of our family. We often say the first time you come, you're a guest. After that, you're part of our family, and it's true. We do want to include you just to be part of our family, so I want to thank you for being here. Giving is something that we don't talk. We talk once about on Sundays, and I'm going to talk about it again. There are many ways that we have to give here. We don't pass a plate. We have offering boxes in the back and up front. We have online giving. We have text giving. We have multiple ways that you can give, so we encourage you to do that. And want to thank you for your faithfulness in that. If something Pastor Donna said has caused you to want to pray with somebody, we got Matt and Amy that would love to be able to pray with you. Maybe it's nothing that he said, but you just want to pray with somebody. They would love to be able to pray with you and lift up your requests to God. Along those lines, we also have Warrior Work that meets on Monday night. It's men that get together, and we just pray for the needs and desires of the church. And if there's something that we can pray for you about, there's cards on the offering boxes also that you could fill those out, put them in there, and we will make sure that we pray for you on Mondays and then throughout the week. Last month, as you know, we talked about the month of July. We focused on every day of a specific thing that we were praying about. Well, we have an opportunity this coming Wednesday, and I hope you guys are excited about it, because we are, as a transition team, we're excited about it. And even as a church, we're excited about it, that we have an opportunity to spend 24 hours. Every person has an opportunity to take a card from in the back there, take multiple cards. I have a couple of them that I'm taking. I know the times that I wake up, and I know the times, so I'm taking those times to make sure that I pray for the church, the desires of the things that are on the card. Take a card, pray for the church, pray for our transition team, for the pastor that God has for our church. Take an opportunity. We as a church have an opportunity for that period of 24 hours to be united as one as we lift up the requests in prayer. Thank you guys again for being here. I'm going to reiterate it, but really our life our full life is a sense of worship, and we need to be sure of what we show others in our life and how we worship. Have a great day. Thanks, guys.